Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. So happy to have you back. Today, our guest is Becca Ribbing, and we're chatting all things self-help books. Now let's get to the show. Hi, Becca. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. So happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So excited. So tell us who you are.
So my name is Becca Ribbing, and I've been a coach for over 10 years now. And I am about to come out with a new book called The Clarity Journal. And it's kind of got a funny little story to it because we all go through changes and like, okay, what do I want to do next? And I was in the middle of a bit of a, like trying to figure out what I was going to do next with my business. Mm-hmm. And I can't even remember who it was, but someone was like, well, I was like agonizing about it to someone. And someone was like, well, what would you tell yourself? And so the Clarity Journal is basically like my favorite questions to help people get themselves unstuck from the big, what am I doing with my life questions? So basically what I do is that I help people get unstuck with what they want to do and where they want to go and how they want their lives to look. And sometimes that's like really powerful and very corporate. And sometimes that's more like, I want to open a yoga studio, or like, how do I kind of bring more passion back into my life?
That's so powerful. And we've worked together, so I can attest for your work is it works.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. What has been the process like of writing the book?
Oh, you know, and it's funny because I'm working on the book. Well, the book is done. I am in the middle of editing, and editing always takes longer than it should. Mm-hmm. But I am also working on developing a class called Unstuck, which is all about getting yourself unstuck. Not so much from the big questions, but the little everyday moments where you just find yourself stuck. And I was realizing when I was writing it, it's like the writing process for me is really easy. The editing process and it's really that process of like letting go and being like, nothing can ever be perfect, right? Like in order to have one thing in a book, you need to potentially lose another. Like you can't have it be 100% solution. So making those decisions about what stays and what goes and how to like create like a really good flow is I think the hardest, because it's every time I look at it, it's like, oh, everything becomes my baby. Like everything I love so much that it's hard for me to like cull down and just go with it. Like hit the, like, okay, this is 80%, 90% good enough. I am super lucky because my husband is a professional editor. Mm-hmm. So like, I know it's good, but still there's always room for better. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Done is better than perfect. So just letting go of the perfectionism and just kind of like showing up and doing your best.
Yeah. So
what do you wish it would be different, you know, the process that the writing, editing and whatnot, what would be different if you have a magic wand?
Oh, I mean, I wish I could have started with my second book, right? I think that the first book is always going to be that agonizing. You don't really know what you're doing and you don't really know if it's good enough. And there's so much, you have so much emotionally invested in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping, I'm not there quite yet, but I'm hoping that the second book won't be quite so like emotionally intense. Mm-hmm. in that way of like not really knowing what you're doing. Mm. You know, like anytime you're doing something new there's just this doubt about whether or not you're on the right track, and then you scrape everything and start over again. And yeah, so second book, I am very much hoping that the editing process won't take like a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about your reading life. When do you read?
Oh, when I can. I have two kids. So I have a tendency, someone once called me a cricket, like where I like build up a ton of energy, like do something like super intensely and then like stop for a while. And so I have a tendency, if I am going to read, I'm going to read the whole book in a day because I love it. Mm-hmm. Or it's something I really needed to hear. So I basically, I'm an all or nothing type of person. I try to read on a almost daily basis, but I will be honest with you. There have been times where like I haven't read for a month and then I finish three books in a week. So that's kind of my like very disjointed, possibly have ADHD. I don't really, but I feel like my reading with kids makes me look like I might have ADHD, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you have time constraints because you're homeschooling, you're writing, you're working, you have a marriage, you have a lot going on. So reading, you know, it's not something you have the time to do it.
I know. And I tell you, I was listening to your last the last podcast that's up right now. Mm-hmm. So I know this will go up in a couple of weeks. And you were talking about the, all the different competitions, not the right word, but the different challenges that you can do, like the reading challenges. And this made me like, oh my gosh, if I didn't have kids, I could be reading so much more. And if I'd say, you know, I love these kids. They're super awesome kids, but every once in a while, like, I can't wait till you're a teenager so I can sit and have me time.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, so it's understandable. It's okay.
Yeah.
So the years are, what is it? The days are long, but the years are short. So just
My gosh, yeah. I actually have read an amazing book about that. If anyone out there has kids and is like, oh my gosh, sometimes I feel like I'm drowning, read, what is it called? It's All Joy, No Fun. Mm. And that book actually kind of changed my life, at least my life with kids, because it is one of those nonfiction books that's just like almost written like a novel. Like the stories are so interesting and compelling that it just kind of draws you in and through. And actually, I'm positive I listened to it on Audible. So the Audible version is really, really good. Mm-hmm. But it definitely had that message that I had to hear, like, okay, it's fine. You've got kids. Like, you need to just embrace the fact that this is hard and your time's not your own. But it really goes into how there have been a lot of articles since then, especially recently, about how like parenting is getting harder. Like parenting takes more time. Mm-hmm. Like we're investing more time in our children. And this book really goes into that and like how we can kind of drive ourselves nuts. Cause it's that perfect thing, right? You know, like almost everything in like the parenting realm, the self-help realm, the business realm, like whatever. I mean, most like self-improvement realms come back to that, like letting go of perfection.
Yeah.
So at least if you're American.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to let go of perfectionism. I know for me, that's been a biggest thing is I had to let it go.
Yeah.
You cross that. Done is better than perfect. And then I can just do my best. And that's
done is better than perfect. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about self-help books. Talk to us about the genre. What type of books do you go for within the self-help books?
You know, I find self-help books kind of fascinating because, you know, there's like two different types of self-help books. There's self-help books that are really that the person almost seems perfect. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't relate. And then there are the self-help books where the person seems, well, I guess there's three types. Because there's definitely self-help books where the person seems like a complete basket case still. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't know what I'm going to gain from you. But the sweet spot is that the person isn't perfect. They've been learning. And what they're saying, they're not even expecting you to be able to apply 100% of the time, or even make the assumption that they've applied it themselves 100% of the time. Mm. But that's the type of self-help book I really love. The self-help book that it's not about like, listen to me be guru and I will like change your life. But to me, self-help, the reason why you read a self-help book isn't necessarily to like fix your life forever. And you read this one book and all of a sudden, the way sometimes people I know in my life that are Christian, like talk about the Bible, like I've read this one book and my life has totally changed. Like, that self-help shouldn't be that. It should be like a new message hitting you where you are right now, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe the really good self-help books, you know, you could read them over again 2 or 3 years later and get something different about it. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's more just like reconnecting with humanity mm-hmm. and not being perfect and kind of accepting that, but gaining energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, my biggest gripe about self-help books is the perfection. You know, the gurus who are just like preaching, they're like, you have to do my way, you have to do XYZ, and I'm perfect about it. I get turned off by those. And the once upon a time, they were inspiring because I was like, I want to be perfect. I want to be just like you. But now that I have like, I don't know, some time, some energy, some life experience, I'm like, yeah, that's not true. You're just bullshitting. You know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's a guru. Right. So I like the ones who are just more real, who embraces their imperfections and the things that are just not, they're not doing so well. And then they how they overcome some obstacles.
Yeah, totally. And you know, sometimes the best self-help books aren't even self-help books. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're memoirs.
Yes.
You know, I mean, sometimes when you get a self-help book, you get someone who's like deeply invested in showing you that they are perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's not, as I just said, like, that's not super helpful, but like seeing someone else just go through the process, mm-hmm. I feel like is super useful, and can be deeply inspiring in a way that is actually much more relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought of memoirs to be self-help books, but it's true because you get to see the life experience. You get to see how they overcome the obstacles. You get to experience different things from it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, I liked the book, but I'm not necessarily like the like, holy crap, I'm all in on this book. But like Eat, Pray, Love or Wild, I feel like the reason why both of those spoke to so many people so deeply mm-hmm. was because they did have like a self-help kind of veneer is not the right word, a self-help like message mm-hmm. without at all making either of them seem like they were on some sort of pedestal and they were like all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for both of them, they were self-helpy, you know.
They totally were.
They dealt with divorce, they dealt with like, you know, overcoming resiliency and trying different things and stepping outside of your comfort zone. Those were the books that I resonated when I was actually trying to expand my life. Those books were big in my own journey of just kind of like just figure out what I wanted to do. I was like, you know, those memoirs were kind of like anchors for it.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I think that they also make a really good, books like that also make a really good starting point. Like sometimes, you know, you find the book that you need at the time you need it. And for a lot of people, I think it started a journey they didn't even know they needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it didn't mean that you had to go travel Italy or walk Pacific Coast Trail. It just meant like you start a new journey, starting to do things differently, or, you know, take a step outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So, how are your books? So, what are your top three favorite books of all time?
So now, when I saw this question that you were going to ask me this, I'm like, uh-oh, my top three books aren't all self-help books.
That's okay. You can talk about any books that you want.
Okay, because I will say, like, I'm a Pride and Prejudice geek. I do love some fanfic every once in a while. And I mean, I just, that book just always speaks to me. And then, let's see, I would say, like, one of the ones that, I mean, I hate to even call it a book. So it's this little Kindle ebook, definitely self-published. I'm almost positive it's self-published. It's called Buddha in Blue Jeans. Hmm. And it is, like, basically mindfulness in real life for beginners. But honestly, I don't even know how many words it is. It's probably shorter than a massive blog post, but it's broken down into sections and it's like a page or two each section. And it really just hits on getting back to mindfulness. And it's really about meditation, but it's nice because, you know, talking again about gurus, I mean, you read some of the mindfulness books and it's like, and mindfulness seems really intense when you're reading about it from a Tibetan Buddhist monk who's been through hell in China or, like, you know, whatever, you know, sometimes it becomes almost unrelatable. Mm-hmm. And this is just extremely to the point and hits you wherever you are. I mean, unless you're a Tibetan monk, because it probably wouldn't hit them where they are. but it's, like, very modern and very just easy to – it's one of those books that I'll pick up when I just know I'm spinning my wheels and need, like, a mild slap in the face to, like, come back to center.
Mm.
So – and then the other one – so I've had – like, it really depends on what month. Like, I have those two I really love.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest of my, like, all-time favorite books, it really depends on what month and what mood I'm in. Like, I was struggling with the third one, like, that I'd say, like, all-time favorite book. If I had to go with one, I'd say The Myths of Happiness.
Hmm.
It is, if you haven't read it, it's amazing.
Okay.
It's really long, but the nice thing is the chapters are all broken up into, and I pulled it out, so I'm, like, going to, like, look it up now. Like, the chapters are all broken into, like, the myth of happiness at work, the myth of happiness, like, like in family life. Like, it's, like, here are the chapters. Like, I'll be happy when I'm married to the right person. I'll be happy when my relationship... Oh, I can't be happy when my relationship has fallen apart. I'll be happy when I have kids. I can't be happy when I don't have a partner. And then I'll be happy when I find the right job. I can't be happy when I'm broke. I'll be happy when I'm rich. Like, and it goes on for a couple more. But it's very, but she is, I think, she also wrote The How of Happiness, which I actually haven't read. But she writes like an academic. I think she must be, I bet you she's a journalist. But she, I mean, there's studies out the wazoo, which I always love when people back up what they're saying with actual statistics. But her big gist is all of these things out there in the world that we say are going to make us happy, or if this happens, you won't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not real. It's nice because it's easy for me as someone without the statistics to back it up to say, hey, this isn't real. Like, you need to find, like, internal, like, real internal happiness. But this book really backs that idea up. Like, what actually makes you happy? And I find that the more you focus on the real things that make you happy, the less unhappy, like, the less space you have for the things that stress you out. Like, the less space you have mentally to, like, allow yourself to wallow.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's just a big part of it when you think about happiness.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like confronting.
Yep.
So who are your go-to authors?
So one of them is, and I'm going to butcher his name. I have taken classes in three different languages. I've done Spanish for a couple of years, I've done French for a couple of years, and I've done Chinese for a couple of years. And French, for some reason, I cannot pronounce anything in French. Mm-hmm. Even though I've spent 3 years trying to learn it. So I think how you say his last name is Guillebeault. It's okay. Chris Guillebeault. He wrote The $100 Startup, The Pursuit of Happiness, Born for This. He's just written a ton of books on kind of following your passions and kind of being able to recognize your passions. Mm-hmm. But he does it in what I find is a very like chill, non look at me, I'm awesome. Like he's very real. Like he's done some really interesting things, but the things he tends to write about in his books are not like, look at me, I've done amazing things. They're very much, he tends to research, like talk to like hundreds of people and really bring in their stories. And I like that. Mm. So I think he's kind of my go-to when I'm like, okay, what do I want to do next? Or I, you know, when you've been feeling knocked down or whatever, and you just kind of need to get your energy back. He's definitely it for me.
Yeah, I read $100 Startup and I found that it was relatable. I love the stories that he mentioned because it wasn't just one story, it was just one startup. It was more like, here's different possibilities
you
can create. That I felt that that was more concrete than inspiring than just kind of like reading a business book about like, here's how you start a business. He's like, here's different ways that you can start a business. Here's how you can actually create it.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I would caution with him is that I do think he makes things sound easier than they actually are in real life. So, but that's energizing, right? It's kind of like mind candy or like, it's like chick flick for business or chick lit for business people. Like kind of how I view him, but I do really enjoy it. And I think there's something that's definitely to be said for that, like energizing read that gets you moving again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are your most anticipated new release for 2018 or 2019 books that you're looking forward to reading?
Oh my gosh. I am so behind the times because of the kids.
That's okay.
I am just starting to read something that I have a feeling is like probably 3 years old and I don't even know. Well, I'm reading a couple things that I'm excited about.
Okay.
I have no idea when they came out. So that's I can either be really hip here or like, whoa, that was so 2016. So the first one that I'm reading right now that I'm really excited about is The Paradox of Choice.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't listen to every single one of your podcasts, and most of your podcasts aren't about self-help or nonfiction. Mm-hmm. But have you ever heard of Blinkist?
No. What is it about?
Okay, so Blinkist, it's not a book; it's a app. Okay. And Blinkist, it's BL like blank with an IST at the end.
Okay.
And it basically is I bought it off some deal like Groupon-y. It wasn't Groupon, but it was like some deal like that where you get a year subscription for like a tenth of the price. And ever since then I've paid for it because what it does is it gives you like a summary of almost all the really popular books. And some of them, I'd say about 2/3 of them are audio and all of them have the written part, but two-thirds of them also have an audio component. Mm. And I find it really helpful because I will listen to basically like the old school Reader's Digest, which I don't think I've ever even read, but people talk about it, like where it gives you like the summary of the book. And that's how I decide what I'm going to read next. It's like, oh, like if you can tell me in 30 minutes why this book is awesome, then I'm going to go read it. If I'm bored in that 30 minutes, then it's not going to be worth my time. So
yeah,
the two that I am excited about based off of what I heard from Blinkist, The Paradox of Choice. I am huge into talking about decision fatigue and how much decision fatigue affects our lives and how like, we think we should be so much happier now that, you know, we have running water and electricity and iPads and iPhones and all that. But the overwhelming amount of choice we have in our lives is overwhelming. Like, more is not necessarily a good thing. Like, there's a sweet spot in the middle. And so this book is evidently like totally about how more actually can make you crazy. And he's big into talking, from what I've listened to on the Blinkist, maximizers versus satisfiers. Like, maximizers are like people who have to like every decision be perfect, versus satisfiers, which would be like people who are good, happy with the good enough most of the time. And one of the points that I've read about him making is that that it actually affects you socially way more than I would have thought. I talk about decision fatigue a lot with my clients, because a lot of them come to me because they need help making a decision. Like, they've just been agonizing and stewing about a set of decisions for too long, and they can't get out of their own head, and they need someone to help them, which I totally understand. But I see those decisions as usually like, oh, like decisions about the career or where you're going to live or whatnot. But one of the things he really talks about is how it actually hurts you socially. Because if you are expecting perfection all the time and trying to make decisions based off perfection, that's really where FOMO comes in. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't commit to the social, to living your life now with the people that you love now, because you're always like looking for the next big thing. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to actually reading. I've read two chapters, so I'm really looking forward to actually finishing it. Mm-hmm. I had another on the tip. Oh, The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins. Mm-hmm. Who I read a ton of her, I mean, not read, I've listened to like a ton of her videos. Mm-hmm. And so she is on my reading list, and I am hoping that the book is as good as all of her YouTube videos, because her YouTube videos are pretty inspiring and phenomenal.
Yeah, I heard really positive things to The 5-Second Rule. Like,
but it's probably like 6 years old, and I'd probably like being very like 2016 or 2015 or something.
Yeah, maybe a couple years old, I think. But just read it. They're still loving it. They're writing about it. They're like, 5-Second Rule. I'm like, okay.
I know. Well, and then like, Girl, Wash Your Face was going to be on my list. And I've had 3 friends tell me they hated it.
Yeah, I got mixed reviews for Girl, Wash Your Face. That's been mentioned in this podcast a couple of times. It's mixed reviews. My best friend read it and loved it. But then Chibi, who I trust her opinion, hated it.
So, okay. Yeah, the people that I've heard that hated it, I'm usually like, it's like if they hated it enough to post, like they're not book reviewers or anything. Like, if they hated it enough that they were going to like go on to like Instagram and Facebook and whatnot and say how much they hated the book, I'm like, okay, I'm probably not going to like it.
Yeah, that was one of the, You're a Badass. I heard good things about it, but I'm not inspired to pick it up. So
exactly.
For me to pick up a self-help book, it takes a while. It has to be amazing. I think I'm more likely to read a memoir or some true crime investigative journalist nonfiction than reading a self-help book. I think I read quite a few, I would say, from 2010 to 2014, that's when I mainly read with self-help books, and then I got burned out. And after that, I'm like, nope, never again. So,
well, and now you can look at your memoir reading as self-help reading. So
that is true. That is true. So, yeah. Although, I've been leaning towards reading about sociopaths, so I don't know how much self-healthy can that be, but...
Yeah. That's
right. So, what book should my listeners pick up and add to their TBR? And TBR is to be read file.
I would say The Myths of Happiness. Like, if you are, like, 90% of the people that I know and are always, like, waiting for something to happen to be happy... Mm-hmm. I would say pick it up. You may not read all of it in one fell swoop, but mm-hmm. you can always read the chapters that apply to you and put down the rest, because I find that the chapters that applied to me to be extremely helpful in a way that regular self-help hasn't been. So I'd try it.
Okay. I think I'm going to pick it up myself. So I'm excited.
Cool.
So tell us where you can find you online.
Let's see. I am at BeccaRibbing.com. Becca Ribbing on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram. So you can find me pretty much anywhere there. It's the nice thing about having a name. There's only one other Becca Ribbing in the entire world, and she is a Swedish black belt in like jiu-jitsu or karate or something. So it's not her.
So you're just unique. I love it.
I'm just unique. Yeah. My maiden name was Ross. And so Rebecca Ross, there's like 7,000 Rebecca Rosses in US alone. So it's nice to have a unique name that people can just Google you and find you really easily.
I love it. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This was really great.
Thank you, Becca, for a great list of book recommendations. For a detailed list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/82. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This will help get the podcast get discovered by new audiences. For the month of December, I'm giving away hardback new release to one lucky winner as a thank you for leaving a review on iTunes. This giveaway is open internationally. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you soon.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.